Hey, this is Mike Zwick from If Not For God podcast. Our show, Stories of Hopelessness Turned Into Hope. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it. Share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Previously on Lantern Rescue.
And there's this beautiful little girl. She had, she had pigtails and everything like that. And we knew that she was being trafficked out for sex in the evenings, but she wasn't on a slave field yet. So we were going to go pay to get her before she got sold out permanently. And we went back to get her, and she never showed up. The parents never got her to us. So she had a beautiful smile. And to this day, I can still see her very plainly. But she never got rescued.
Welcome to Lantern Rescue, a ministry program dedicated to bringing light into the darkness of human trafficking. It's time to light the way to freedom. This is Lantern Rescue. We tell the stories, we talk about rescues, and we empower you to do something about it. William Wilberforce once said, "Let it not be said I was silent when they needed me." This is Lantern Rescue.
So wow, today's topic is it's a disturbing one for me personally, because as I've seen pictures and heard a few stories, like, oh my goodness, you're in for an interesting ride today, because it's kind of along the lines of corrupted families, something that God had provided for us to be taken care of. But what you guys have seen there in Lantern Rescue is often it's families that are the problem.
Thank you, Robbie. And it is we see a lot of disturbing things, versus definitely the situation that our victims are found in, their life, not just at the present moment, but man, when you start to get the whole life story, it's lengthy, and many of them have been involved and forced into this for so long. And probably one of the most disturbing things that we wanted to talk about today is, as you mentioned, the corrupted family factor, when parents are trafficking their children.
Yeah, it's just absolutely horrifying. And Ren, you sent me this picture of this darling little girl this morning. And can you share with our listeners a little bit of what happened to her?
Yeah, so the picture that Robbie's talking about is a girl from an undercover case that we were working in the Dominican Republic. And it was a really sad situation. Her mom, the mother of this little girl, she had been a trafficking victim in the past, and she had become a madam. So now she is trafficking other people. And she was trafficking some adult women, as well as trafficking her 10-year-old daughter. And what was unique about the situation is the daughter looked very different than the average child in this country would. She had a skin condition that made her look very unique. And that was a, it's hard to say this word when you're talking about a child so young, but that was a fetish for pedophiles that were coming to that country to abuse her. They were very interested in this particular child because she was so unique. So we were doing our work in an area in this country, and we were in an area known for prostitution and known for trafficking victims to be at. And we saw this little girl, and we wanted to really start getting the story. Why is she out here? When we first encountered her, before we really knew all the facts that we know now. And we go over, and I sit down on a bench kind of near her. And I'm, talking to my partner, whatever. And she starts scooting closer to me, and she's just chewing on her nails and looking around real nervously. And eventually the mom comes over and, tells her that she needs to get to work. And we see her go over to these older gentlemen and proposition them and do what the trafficker expects of her. And eventually we see a cop, and we're like, oh, this is great. Like, the cop's going to do something. And he goes over, talks to her mom. They had some type of exchange. I assume it was money, and the cop leaves, and this little girl is just there. The people that are supposed to protect her, the cop and her own mother, are complicit in this, and the mom's trafficking her. And it was a really tragic situation. Very heartbreaking, very sad to see someone that you that's the person she's supposed to trust the most in the world, is your parents, your mom. That's the person that's supposed to be nurturing and loving to you, and they're actually the person that's doing the trafficking.
Yeah, when I look at this picture, the innocence of the face of this little girl is just horrifying, to think what's being, you know, done to her. But this is not an unfamiliar story, right, Mark?
It really isn't. Even though we've seen it many times, it's always shocking. If I step into that moment, too, that Ren was describing, you know, you go through the cycle of we're in an obvious place where girls are being attracted, and but then you identify this one who looks very different, and not only because of her skin color, but also she was a baby, 9 years old, 8 to 9 years old. And, you know, and the disturbing fact is this a orphan? Is this a homeless girl? What's going on? And then you begin to see the connection between the mom and her, and the mom giving that instruction to this girl. And it's so disturbing, so sad to watch a little girl who should be playing with, you know, toys, experiencing safety at home in the comfort of a mom and dad or a parent who loves her and takes care of her. Instead, this girl is saddling up on a bench next to an older European man, you know, moving her way, looking at him in a way that she has been taught by her mom, clearly, you know, responding in ways that she has been taught. And it is disturbing to see that. And it's really become something, I know Ren and can maybe talk here in the show at some point, it's becoming a primary way that our victims are being attracted. It's by family members. You know, it's not just the smuggled effect where somebody's, you know, their head's bagged and they're being held somewhere. This is real, not only in other countries, but this is real in America.
Yeah, wow. And Ren, I know every listener is like me, like, what happened? I mean, I'm hoping that you guys rescued her.
So that case was turned over to not the police in that area, but it was turned over to an actual legitimate law enforcement agency that was able to gather more evidence. That was an extremely, extremely tricky case because, you know, normally we do a rescue, a raid, and, you know, we go in and it's a trafficker. It's a very distinct difference between trafficker and caregiver. And I know we talked in another episode about the same country and another two little girls that were being trafficked by their mother. It's like becoming a trend. And so that case was delicate as well in the sense that you're doing the raid not just to get the victim, but to do this horrible traumatic event to them where you're ripping them away from their parent. Their parent's getting arrested in front of you because no matter what the parents send to the child, you still look at your parent and you have a feeling of affection for them because they're your parent. So we worked with a local law enforcement agency that was able to conduct a stronger investigation and gather the evidence that they needed and to conduct the raid to, yes, arrest the mother and separate the child from her and get the child into aftercare.
Wow, that's great news. And Mark, do you know is there any follow-up on actually, was she put into a foster home, or do you know?
With that case, it was an early on relationship in that country, and I'm not 100% certain, but I do know we've worked with that country's social services, so that's where that would have, that the interaction would occur through that. And we're fairly comfortable with that in that country, whereas in some we would not be, and we would facilitate the aftercare. In that one, we let the authorities facilitate the aftercare.
Wow.
What was really unique about this situation, and I just wanted to bring it up real quick. Hopefully someone finds this motivating or interesting. During this case, we had previously rescued a woman that was older. She was 23 when we did her rescue. And her trafficker was holding her child against her. Her trafficker was making her work the streets and taking her child every day. And if she didn't work the streets, he would threaten to harm the child. She had a 3-year-old daughter. And we did her rescue, and now she is, for lack of a better word, an informant, a little investigator for us. And she would, while this investigation was going on, she would send us back and forth. Like, I still see the child. The child's on the streets, but she's not hurt. She looks healthy. She's okay. And when the rescue happened, you know, she suddenly is like, the child's gone. I haven't seen her anymore. So it was really cool to have that victim that had already been rescued take such an active role in wanting to help other people get out of that situation and understanding the severity of it.
Wow, that's just, again, a mind-blowing event. Alan, do you have a story along these lines?
Not a firsthand. It's actually through my wife, who works for law enforcement in the United States. The situation was similar to this. There was a female in the same type of trafficking. She trafficked her daughter and an infant. Her daughter was, I think the age is about 6. And the infant was just like 12 or 13 months, the boy. It was actually caught by state law enforcement. They did a sting operation, and the mother was actually exchanging her children at a bus stop to who she believed was going to be a elderly gentleman that was going to take one or both children and do what he wanted to. But it turned out that when she got to the bus station, the person she was meeting was actually the state law enforcement officer, and they took her into custody and then the children into child and youth services. But it's not firsthand knowledge, but the information, my wife has to do some of the transcripts, and it was just pretty horrific, the incident itself.
Wow. And so, you know, the point that I know you wanted to make, Wren, was this stuff could be happening right in your back door.
Yeah. So this stuff, like Alan said, you know, that's a state or a case from the United States, and the cases that we had talked about in the past have been from overseas. But, you know, there could be monsters in your everyday life. You know, it's not always a stranger that's snatching and grabbing a kid. There are these cases, and we've been seeing it more and more often lately, which is alarming. There is a lot of cases of parents and familial trafficking, and these people that I hope it's out of desperation, and it's not just that they're horrifically evil people, but it's hard to, you know, even I'm the only person on the team that's not a parent, and it's hard. It's even for me, I can't imagine how it is for the guys to imagine just having such little concern for your child's welfare as to do something so horrific to them.
Yeah, it's really scary stuff. So how about you, TC? Have you got a story along these lines?
Yeah, I actually have a fairly extensive knowledge of a case from my couple jobs ago. I actually can tell you about maybe the tail end of the story. So the person that I know who was trafficked was female. She was trafficked by her mother. And by the time I got to know this person, I was supervising her for the state. And she had, at that point in her life, she had killed somebody. She was a crack addict, and she was a fugitive whom I had chased and caught and put her in jail, and she'd get out. And so I had pretty good, you know, and I knew her story. And actually, eventually, I actually supervised her mother as well, the woman who trafficked her. I also supervised her. And so her mom was almost a lifelong alcoholic when I had her. You know, she was certainly under the control of alcohol most of the time. She was massively manipulative and self-seeking. And at the time she was trafficking her daughter out, she was really just trying to make money. So, you know, guys would come by the house and mom would make her daughter, you know, do what she was told to do. And that happened for much of her youth.
I hate to break in here, but we have to go to a short break. I know that, like me, you all are interested to know what happened in this situation. When we come back, we'll hear about that, as well as a whole lot of information that we all could benefit from, both in prayer, but also just in an awareness of the things that are going on around us. We'll be right back. Lantern Rescue is a USA-based organization that conducts international rescue operations for people suffering from human trafficking. Lantern specializes in sending former U.S. Special Operations, law enforcement, and intelligence personnel to partner with host nations and assist them in creating specialized units to combat ongoing security problems, such as genocide, terrorism, and human trafficking. As a nonprofit charity, they offer services free of charge to their host nations. Human trafficking has grown into the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue has developed rapidly to combat trafficking. Lantern operates through a trained international network in order to rescue women and children from sex and labor slavery and facilitates holistic aftercare services. They're gearing up for operations right now, and you can go to lanternrescue.org to see how you can support them financially. So welcome back to Lantern Rescue, and today's show, kind of families gone corrupted. It's scary stuff, monsters in your own backyard. And when we left TC, he was describing the situation that he, and clearly this was in the United States, right, TC? If you were supervising these people, this is back when you were working in parole and that kind of thing?
That's correct. Yeah, it was definitely in the States. I guess the reason part of what I want to bring forward, and I think we'll segue to this later, the way that my, I mean, she ended up being an informant for me as well, and to this day we're friends. I want to talk about that for a minute. But I just want to say that from a very young age, her life got bent, and she struggled for years with how this happened to her, and it's, you know, the cause and effect type thing. I will say that eventually, she really kind of got straightened out to some degree. And she'll probably always struggle with some things, but she's drug free. And she's actually a plant manager at a place now in a state not far away. And so, you know, she kept, and I would say that she's a Christian as far as I know. And she has family. So I guess part of it is, you know, at a young age, her life was dramatically altered. But I also want to say, and I think we'll pick up on this, is that there is hope. If we can get these folks out, if we can get them rescued and get them the right kind of help, then their lives, you know, can be productive and happy and enjoyable.
Yeah, and as I'm listening to that, TC, I'm thinking, wow, no doubt you were praying for this young lady a lot. And it leads me to think, wow, I knew about praying for you guys, but I hadn't really thought until I saw the picture of the little girl, wow, I need to be praying specifically for victims that I know about, you know, that God will come in. Because eventually he's the one that does the rescuing. He did it for me. And I was never trafficked, but I had my own set of situations. But interestingly, I mean, it really is it gives us an opportunity as listeners to participate in this. And I want to mention that we're going to post this picture. Of course, the little girl's face will be blurred out a little bit at the notes at the podcast. So if you just go to the Apple Podcast and look for Lantern Rescue, you're going to see that in the show notes, there'll be that picture if you want to see, get an idea of who this is that we could be praying for. Because, you know, Alan, you definitely wanted to speak to the spiritual and the physical relationship that's going on here.
Yeah, those two things, the spiritual and the physical aspect, you know, they're separate, but yet they're intertwined. So we, as the operators that do the rescue, you know, we're physically going in and removing the individual from the environment or separating them from their traffickers. That's the physical side. Now, the spiritual side, you know, is a different thing altogether, and that is something that you actually have to get in prayer about. That is something that only Jesus can actually heal, the spiritual wounds caused by the physical wounds. You know, the physical wounds can be addressed, you know, in a lot of cases, Band-Aids and casts and worldly things. But the spiritual damage that is done, if that's not healed and corrected, then they never do fully recover. You know, and I think TC was getting to that part with the individual he was involved with, you know, that there has to be healing on both sides, not just the physical, but the spiritual. And I think that's where the prayers really need to be put forth, and not just for the victims and the perpetrators, but for us as individuals to make us more aware of that spiritual battle we're in, not just the physical, when we're going out to do these things.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. And Mark, you had some thoughts along that as well.
Yeah, I'm so grateful that TC and Alan both have such a vast experience in law enforcement and other things in the States, for them to share their background and their stories, because we do see this stuff internationally and they see it. We all see it. But to tie over to realize that this is a problem, you know, around the world, that parents sell their children for money or goods like drugs, you know, and that same parent is probably also taking that child home for dinner or homework in the evening, you know. And so when they barter their kid or give their child to somebody else for sex or any kind of sexual favor, and right now with, you know, COVID, we've talked about the demand for photographs and videos of, you know, their children of sexual nature is rampant. And it's just a problem that is definitely, as Alan was just saying, I mean, it's a problem of the heart. And then the damage that it does to the child, when TC talked about how this girl got off course early on, and then now the need of the spiritual healing for this kid, we don't always get to see the final outcome of that child, you know, years later, but we do get to see some, and we do get to connect with several. And I want our listeners to know this, that as a team, we all know that physically rescuing somebody is one thing, but then the spiritual rescue has to happen. And we are committed as a team that the ones that we rescue are given that opportunity to learn about Jesus, to hear about God, to get that type of therapy. And we're so grateful for our aftercare partners. And then, you know, we're continuing to build that out in other countries. So I just wanted to share how important that is to the team.
Yeah, I think it's phenomenally important, because so many of these victims actually feel like it was their fault in some way. And getting at that from a standpoint of some type of counseling or something. Ren, do you guys have something along those lines that you try to get these people involved in?
Yeah, so all the aftercare organizations that we work with, they all have their foundation is built upon getting them the spiritual needs that they need, as well as they have certified counselors that are certified to work with victims of sexual abuse, victims of physical abuse, and victims of trafficking. So when they transition into the aftercare, someday we'll do a whole show about the aftercare process, but when they transition there, yes, they're absolutely provided counselors and trusted individuals that are able to talk to them, as well as all the victims that we've rescued have our phone numbers on the rescue team. They have at least mine and Mark's, and they're able to reach out to us whenever they're going through some type of struggle if they feel like they want to talk to us as well.
Wow. And I suppose you've had those calls?
Yeah, we've had a couple. Sometimes they're challenging because usually they don't speak our language, so it can be, you know, a little bit of a barrier. But, you know, they don't always want us to talk back. They just want to say something and know that you're there listening. So that's been beneficial, I know, for at least a couple of them.
Yeah, it's so important to listen in those situations. But speaking of listening, we'd like to, you know, I know all our listeners would like a little more education on what we could be sensitive to looking for and those kind of things.
Yeah, so, you know, people, especially in the United States, the best people that are going to be the most equipped to notice this stuff is going to be your teachers. We always say that, which that's another reason why this pandemic has been so distressing to us, is the teachers that are able to check in on their students every day and see the micro changes and see these interesting habits that they're picking up that they didn't have before. That safety net is gone now. So that's going to be more challenging, but in a normal, perfect world, teachers are excellent to notice when a child is acting differently, when something seems off, as well as healthcare professionals. So when a kid comes in for their checkups, when the parent's not in the room, if something seems off, you know, make sure you're addressing that. And if you're not comfortable doing it while the child is in the room, you can always call the National Trafficking Tip Line, and that phone number is 888-3737-888. So even if, you know, you're thinking about it later, your kid in school, or you saw a child at your kid's daycare, or your child had a playmate over, whatever the situation is, and you're not comfortable confronting it in that moment, you can call that tip line later, and it's anonymous. If you're wrong, no harm, no foul. If you're right, you help the child.
Wow, that's awesome. And TC, both you and your wife have worked, you know, a lot with the people in the United States. I'm wondering what thoughts you might have in the way of education that people could be looking out for.
My thoughts along this tie in with what Ren just said. Number one, the Apostle Paul tells us to redeem the time, you know, to buy it back and to make the most of all of the life that we've been given. If we apply that to this particular problem, this particular epidemic of child abuse and trafficking, there are so many things like my wife does things like fundraisers, volunteering, talking to other people, you know, almost incessantly about this is what you can do, this is what you can look for. When we go overseas, every little thing that we can do, from buying water and candy bars to making sure that they get to the right place, to having conversations, to enabling those governments. Like, there are so many things that if you continually do those little things, you create quite a force for good. You're coordinating with the Father of the universe, the God of the universe, to do good. And there's just so many things. You think they're small, but you have no idea of the eventual impact of those things.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. And Mark, can you kind of wrap things up for us?
Yes, I think I'd love to maybe wrap it up by just asking folks, as always, to pray, but we're getting into a busy season, and next week and then much of September, Lord willing, we have some activity that is pretty critical for the lives of our victims and then also the law enforcement that we need to train and establish relationships in other places. So, you know, we're excited about the way God is growing our organization, but more than anything, we are determined. I know each one of us, we're not used to sitting around quite as much at home as we have probably. It's been nice, but I know we're all motivated to be active in the actual rescue role because that's what we do and that's what we do best. So I know, Alan, TC, you guys want to close out as well?
Yeah, Alan, go ahead.
Sure. Like Mark was saying, the fact that the need of us is the prayers. I mean, monetary and all that is wonderful, but really that spiritual battle that we fight within ourselves and in the environments we go into, that is a battle that needs more than just us. It needs prayers from everyone to give us the strength to do that and the strength of those victims to be healed by, you know, faith and by Christ alone. So I just really ask for your prayers more than anything.
Yeah, and actually, as I am thinking about it, this, of what I'm aware of, it's a really good time to be thinking about praying for Mark and Wren and Alan and TC, because the upcoming weeks are critical, and for other members of their team as well as the victims. Again, I would reference the podcast that you can go there, see in the show notes, those little girl, and get an idea of, wow, how could we be praying for these victims as well as the team in these critical upcoming weeks? And I know I'm personally excited because I know we're going to be doing some shows coming up live from the field of what's actually going on out there. And so you certainly want to tune in on the upcoming weeks to how God is going to be, you know, working through the team there at Lantern Rescue. So thank you so much for listening to today's show. And don't forget, we can sure use your prayers. God bless.
This is the Truth Network.